far have we gone with the computer selection admissions for the senior high schools? NAGRAT reaches agreement with the Fair Wages Commission, and are they calling off the strike now and tackling the challenge of post-harvest losses and packaging to aid agriculture? More on these issues. As behind the news, linking up with all our regional FM stations, and as usual, you can get through to us with your comments on 026-441-8767, 026-441-8767, and we move on with our first story. Junior high school students seeking admission to senior high schools this academic year and parents can now heave a sigh of relief after a delay in the process of admission. The Ghana Education Service has at long last released their 2011 placement results and directed the heads of second cycle institutions to start the admission process by next Wednesday. The GES has attributed the delay to the reintroduction of 30% catchment area policy and investigations into examination malpractices. Stephen Edu is the Director of Basic Education and Acting Deputy Director General of the Ghana Education Service, and he's joined us on the line. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Sir, you've given Wednesday for the heads of institutions to start admissions. Does that mean everything is now okay?
Yes, everything is okay.
You spoke about the 30% as causing the delay. Have they also ironed out those who are having places now, the 30%?
Yes, we have. The delay was due to the fact that they delayed in submitting the completed forms.
Yes.
Now everything is okay.
Some are saying that perhaps, looking at the 30%, the GS should have made provision for that long ago, even before the results were released. What led to that delay?
You know that in the past, we used to have it, but it was under the instructions of the His Excellency, the President of the Republic of Ghana, who instructed that the 30% should be instituted. So that is why we had a delay. So we had to print some new reforms for the students to fail, and that is what caused the delay. So it wasn't that initially it wasn't part of our strategy. We were going to place 100%. But once the president directed that should get the 30% for the people who live within the community, that is why it was introduced.
The computer selection system has been with us for some time, but people still complain about the process, that it doesn't really help some students who might have scored better than others who gain admission ahead of them. Can you help us know why sometimes it happens this way?
You see, the problem with the placement is the fact that we don't use the aggregate, because normally people are saying that they've had aggregate 6, somebody had aggregate 7, that sort of thing. But we use the raw scores, and the raw scores are different from the aggregate. You see, within the raw scores, you can have, even within one particular grade system, if you take maybe grade 1, for instance, you may have somebody just scoring the minimum and somebody scoring the maximum. Assuming if the score for A is between 75 to 100, and somebody got maybe 99 or 95 for all the 6 subjects, then he stand a better chance than somebody who had maybe the lowest for all the 6 core subjects. So that is what I think we are still appealing to parents to really understand, that when you talk about the scores, we are talking about a range of scores. So it may differ from the aggregates that sometimes people, parents just adhere to. So that is the problem with it. Otherwise, I think there shouldn't be any problem with the scores. And you know, we are talking about displacement. So if you choose, if you choose Wesley College, Wesley Guest, and then you are not able to get Wesley Guest, then you are pushed to your second choice. And if you go, you also compete with all others who chose the second choice. So in the end, if you are still, your score is below the cutoff point for the second choice, then you move to your third choice. So that is how the whole process goes on until you get. There are even some people where even after the first 3 choices, they still don't get their grades, so they move to the 4th grade. So that is the problem that you have with the choice.
So it means that in the long run, a good student might not even get the 3rd choice.
Yeah, a good student compared with other good students. You see, it's not that maybe you are good, you think that you are good. You may have, if you take for instance, this year, those the who chose Wesley Guest were 12,400. 12,400 people chose Wesley Guest. And you can imagine that you may have about 10,000 of them getting the aggregate 6. So which means that you may be a good student, but compared with others, your scores may be lower than those who chose Wesley Guest. So automatically you move to the next school that your second choice. But unfortunately, when you choose all the big schools in the country, then the probability that you will get a second choice is also very, very slim. Because assuming if you choose Wesley Guest as your first choice, and then Holy Child as your first choice, then the probability that you even get Holy Child is also very slim. Because the cutoff point will be about the same. See, so the problem that you, that's why we have been advising that when you choose your first choice as Wesley Guest, then you have to choose the second choice, maybe not so subscribed school, so that the probability can be higher. Otherwise, if you choose all the B schools, then automatically you are going to lose all the B schools that you choose.
So, you've spoken about the 30% catchment area policy. Is that left to the discretion of the heads of institutions, or you also do that one to help them?
No, that one was not left to the discretion of the heads. That one, we gave the forms out for all those within the particular area to collect the forms from the district education office and then fill them and then send them directly to the headquarters as a CSSPS secretariat. So that is not at the discretion of the heads at all. It's at the discretion of the individuals who decide that maybe they want to take advantage of the 30% catchment area to fail. You see, some of them did not do that. But those who did it, I think they got it. So if you are in Wesley Guest, the placement was first done for the 70%. That one was by merit. Then the remaining 30% is by the local placement. And that one is about 17 kilometers within that area. So those who decided to choose by the 30% placement, we just took them out of the 70% merit placement. And then most of them would get the admission as far as the local, the 30% placement was concerned.
So is there no possibility at all at any point in time to have a discretion of the heads of institutions thinking, I still have some space left and I want to give it to someone who might be coming forward to inquire?
Yeah, that one will come after we have finished with all the placement. You see, now we have placed 70 and then 30%. It is likely that a particular school, maybe some students may not even report. There are even some places where students, maybe they want to go to some other school and vacancies will be declared. So when the vacancies are declared, then the head will then have that opportunity to take advantage of the situation. And maybe if some, we have some local people who have really contacted the heads for it, then that's where they have to submit the list for consideration.
Yeah.
So the heads will have that opportunity, but it will be after the placement have been done and then schools have roping and then students have reported and vacancies have been declared.
So is there the possibility of even knowing the raw scores to aid those who are seeking admission?
The raw scores, now when you print out your admission form, you will get a raw score.
Okay.
And as of today, we are sending all the student list of the raw scores to the schools. So we are hoping that by Monday, all the lists of schools who have been placed in all the schools will be in the schools. And when they print, we are saying that they can print their forms from Monday or Tuesday. So when they print their form, they will see their scores. And that is what they are going to submit to the schools for their admission.
Good. So what do you expect the heads of institutions to be doing once you're giving them the directive?
So now what we expect the heads to do is to get ready to receive the first years. Now, we are saying that reopening date is on the 31st of October, which is Monday. That is the Monday's week. That's when they are supposed to reopen schools. So we are expecting that the heads of institution will make all the necessary preparation to receive these first years. Now, admission, once admission is open, it means from Tuesday, Wednesday, that's what we are saying, that from Wednesday, the schools should get ready to receive them. So we are expecting that by now, the schools will prepare the admission forms for the first years. They will prepare their prospectus and the things that they need to buy, and all other conditions. Some of them are also providing some guidelines for attending some of these schools. So we are expecting that all these things will be ready, so that from Wednesday, when the students get to the schools, then they will be in position to take care of all these things that we are talking about. So we are expecting them to prepare to receive all these first-year students.
Mr. Stephen Edu, please hold on for a moment as we want to quickly move to the acting president of the National Council of PTAs, Tugby Dukli Atipu, to share a few concerns on the present release. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Yes, certainly everybody knows about the delay, but we've had some explanation. For you, what does it mean now?
Oh, we thank you very much, and we greet you to your listeners. The challenge facing the parents now, now that we've heard all the explanations, we must agree that the academic period for this term is shortened because we are in the 6 weeks already since school reopened. And before they go into any serious business, we enter the 7th and the 8th week. We plead with the GES to work something for the children so as to benefit, since they will only go in for only 3 years instead of the 4 years, so they should put a mechanism into place so as to cover the lost periods. That's our concern, the concern of the parents, because the parents are much worried of the delay. However, we appreciated their problems and wish them to, solve that concern for the parents.
Tugby, you are also the PTA chairman of Sogakope Senior High School. We are talking about 30% catchment area policy. How do you see it working effectively in your area?
It worked effectively. Those who had the chance and had the forms and filled them, they were pleased. So it is good. But those who were unfortunate and had no hint, they were not pleased. So, much education ought to go on, because some schools did not inform parents, so parents were not aware. But those who were aware and had a chance of collecting the funds and filled them, their walls were pleased.
Yeah. There are some concerns in some quarters that even though we are talking about computer selection and placement, it has not completely taken out the issue of corruption. Do you have a sense of feeling, or has this been brought to your notice in any way?
Yeah, that concern has been raised in various quarters. But, it has improved. It has improved, and I think it is better. It is getting more quality, more better.
Okay. Tugby, we want to thank you very much for sharing your concerns with us. Tugby Atipu is the PTA chairman of Sogakope Senior High School and acting president of the National Council of PTAs. But coming back to you, Mr. Stephen Edu, have you heard about these concerns about some corruption taking place?
Yes, I'm very, very grateful to the PTA chairman, at least for his also appreciation of the fact that at least the results have been released and then things have improved as far as CSSDS is concerned. I have taken note of all his concerns, and the first one is about the fact that time is fast spent, and then how are the students going to cover what is left. And then this is not the first time that we are reopening around October. We are very much aware. That is why we expect that the schools will have to organize their classes in such a way that you have to do extra classes to ensure that, especially at this time that we are doing 3 years, so that they will ensure that they will be able to cover the syllabus that all these students are supposed to cover. So I am very sure that the schools are on top of this particular challenge, and they will be able to organize extra classes to ensure that all the lost hours will be at least will be recovered. And then concerning the corruption and whatever, I'm also happy that the PTA chairman is talking about the fact that things have improved. You know, when there's too much of anxiety, people even think that they don't even believe in the system. But I'm very happy that he's saying this. So I'm very sure that as time goes on, we will be able to address all the challenges that we are facing. But as he rightly said, we have to do more education. So this week in particular, we are going to intensify our education on the CSSPS placement. Now, there are other concerns that some parents have also raised, as far as even whether if they are going to pay the school fees for the first term or whatever. You see, that one too, you are talking about a package, and we are very sure that even whatever will be received, the heads will take advantage of it and then organize extra classes or extra tuition to ensure that the students at least are not left unattended to for the period that is left for them.
Yeah.
So we are very much aware of all the concerns that have been raised. So we have taken note of them, and we are very sure that the schools will be able to cover all of them as much as possible.
Yeah, Mr. Edu, please ask you to hold on quickly for us once again. We'll come back to you. But joining us now is J.O. Latte, Headmaster Kintampo Senior High School. Good evening, sir. Hello, Mr. Latte.
Yes,
good evening, sir. Yes, if you can please raise your voice a little. You seem to be so faint on our line. Oh, okay, we'll try to manage with that level. How ready are you to receive the students for this year?
Well, we'll be on the 9th of September, and today is the end of the 6th week. So, but we have been ready all along, and we are waiting for them.
You don't envisage any challenges at all?
For that one, it depends upon individual schools. For example, at Kintampo Senior High School, we are given two dormitories, one for boys, one for girls. So, they are still under construction. However, we've made arrangements for facility arrangements, and we hope that according to the contract, it should finish by December. So I know we can comfortably accommodate them until December when they complete the dormitory.
Yeah.
So we do have problems over there.
The issue of the 30% catchment area policy came up. How are you going to handle it? Or how are you handling it?
So, according to the directive given, the candidates or the parents of the candidates go to the district municipal and then the metropolitan education office for the forms. So, they dealt solely with their forms. So, we are just waiting for the release of the placement.
Mr. Joe Olati, I want to thank you very much for your time too, as the headmaster of Kintampo Senior High School. Mr. Edu, finally ending with you, do you envisage a few challenges here and there?
Now, right now, the challenge that we face may be those contractors who have not been able to complete the classrooms and then the dormitory contract given them. As I'm speaking now, some of the contracts have not been completed. So it's likely that some schools may face challenges as far as classrooms are concerned or dormitories are concerned. But that is what we are appealing to the heads of institution to also manage the system, so that if there are even some minor problems, they should manage and then see to it that at least all students get through. Now, there's one other issue maybe I want to just organize. For those 30%, like the PTA chairman said, some of them did not even hear of the information and did not feel early enough. We are hoping that when the students start to go to school, maybe after 1 week of reopening or maybe 2 weeks, we'll be able to identify those schools which still have vacancies. And maybe after that, we can also take care of some of the students who could not fail the 30% early enough, so that we can all put them there. So the challenges, I think now, right now, the biggest challenge we have is whether if all these schools will be able to get enough accommodation, enough classrooms and whatever to yeah. But since they are very much aware that some of these things are coming up, I'm very sure that those schools who have these problems will be able to manage the system so that no student will be found unwanted. And we are also appealing to parents that though the time is very short for them to prepare the student to go to school, since they knew that they were going to take their children to school, they might have prepared for now. So at least the 1 week should be enough for them to collect their prospectus and then buy all the necessary things that they need. So I am very sure that this is not going to create a big problem. The headmasters and headmistresses have been able to manage these things over the years. So I am expecting that they'll be able to do the same for this particular year. I am not expecting a very serious problem for this year.
Mr. Stephen Edu, we want to thank you very much for sharing all these with us on Behind the News tonight. That is the Director of Basic Education and Acting Deputy Director General of the Ghana Education Service. Behind the News, linking up with you on all our regional FM stations. You are live on Unique 95.7 in Accra and in other areas, and on Volta Star Radio together with Sunrise FM. Koforidua. Behind the News live on Radio Ghana and on Ura Radio, Boga, Radio Upper West and Radio Savannah together with Radio BR. Some of your tests here. Nelson from Bole is saying, it's high time we relook the whole computer selection and placement system. Many do not have access to internet facilities. And Mohammed Nani is saying, nothing in Ghana under NDC government is going on well. Is that the better Ghana? That's a question you are posing. Saeed from Garo. Indeed, this is what we call a listening government. Keep it up, President Mills. Teachers will forever be grateful to you. And AU Farouk from Tamale saying, Kingsley, the authorities of the computerized placement system have totally failed for delaying the release of their results. There is much more we have for you on Behind the News, and we are moving on to the issue of NAGRAT. The National Association of Graduate Teachers, NAGRAT, has called off its industrial action. This follows the successful negotiations with Fair Wages and Salaries Commission and other stakeholders on the payment of 21-month salary arrears. The association was then demanding. The commission has agreed to finish payment of all the arrears by July 2012. The president of NAGRAT, Christian Adepoku, has joined us on the line to give us the details of the negotiations. Good evening, sir. When did you finish with the negotiations?
We finished today around 3 p.m.
Yeah. And what were the issues that came out finally for resolution? We are being told that by July 2012. How was it spread?
The first thing is that government has agreed that because they wouldn't want to see arrears again, they want to negotiate this for next year by December this year so that it can be implemented in January. That's one of the conditions. Concerning the arrears itself, government decided to stagger it over up to July 2012. So this month ending, that is October ending, they are paying 2 months of the arrears. November, nothing will be paid. Then December, they will pay, I think, about 3 months. January, nothing will be paid. Then February, they will pay 3 months. And then it will go on like that till July, when the final payment will be effective.
So
how it looks like.
So you are very satisfied with the arrangement?
To be frank with you, we are not satisfied because for us, we expected government to pay all the arrears by the end of this year so that we will not carry anything forward to next year. But you can just imagine government is started from. And when they brought the figures and the indices, sometimes it's difficult to really continue to stick to your entrenched position. Organized labor had to haggle and haggle and haggle, and then we had to change our position from time to time, and to finance, we all converge at that level.
Okay.
It's not the best for us. For us, the moment the money is spread like that, it becomes almost useless for workers. But then sometimes you cannot push government too much where the money is not there. So that was what we could get.
Yeah. So have you managed to relay the information to your members?
Oh, we concluded negotiations yesterday, and after that meeting, we had to also meet as national officers to decide on the next line of action. So we just finished our meeting at the Secretariat, and we have written letters to our regional chairman to call off their strike because of what we have got. It may not be the best, but at least something has come out of it. But for the NAGRAT and the strike, probably we wouldn't have been where we are today.
So you think the strike worked?
Oh, absolutely, because before the strike, we started working, getting government to pay this way back in May. Nothing happened until just recently, about 2 weeks ago, when we started threatening. That was when government saw the need, add more fire, add more agency to it, and make sure that the right thing starts.
Yeah. I'll just hold you on for a while because we also have joining us on the line Brother Kofi Asamoah, the Secretary General of the Ghana TUC. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
And thanks for your intervention, too. What was arranged at that meeting? We have been made to know that it is something that will cover all public sector workers.
Yes, as you may no doubt be aware, with the establishment of the public sector negotiation machinery, all public sector workers, in the case of salary and related issues, negotiate together. So today is the second day after the negotiation. We began on Monday, and today we've concluded. So what the chairman has said is rightly the situation. and it is a negotiation machinery for all public sector workers. So what has been concluded is for all public sector workers, the back pay for 2010 and 2011, and I think it includes your good self. So I think the only dimension is that it's a concluded negotiation for all public sector workers.
Yeah. Mr. Kofi Asamoah, the point is being raised by Mr. Adepoku that assuming they've not even threatened strike or embarked on partial strike, this would not have happened. Does that mean that the machinery becomes slowed down at a point in time?
I would not directly comment, but I think the important thing is that we concluded the 2011 base pay negotiations in August. Usually when you conclude negotiations, the increase will have to be implemented first before you can begin that of the differentials. At that meeting in August, we asked government when we are going to get the differentials. And his conclusion was that it has to collect all the differentials from all sectors, including those who have been migrated and those yet to be migrated. So the implementation was in September. And obviously, meeting in October might not be too delayed at time. But I think the important thing I would want to stress is that we have been able to draw a conclusion.
Good. And there was something that came up that you've already arranged for 2012 base pay.
We have agreed that at least we should be able to conclude the 2012 base pay before the end of the year, so that come January, we'll be able to know the new base pay in order to avoid payment of differentials. You know, right now we are talking about differentials for both 2010 and 2011, okay, which is quite colossal. So if we are able to determine the base pay before the end of the year, we will then start the new pay for 2012 in January, so that we will not be able to have any back pay. But the other point is also that the public sector minimum would have to be determined only when the national minimum has been determined first. So we have the hurdle of ensuring that as quickly as possible, and perhaps before the budget is read, we are able to establish the national minimum wage for 2012, and on the basis of that, go further to also establish the base pay for public sector workers for 2012. So it is a big chance that we needed to do. Of course, in negotiation, if we collectively agree on it, it will be done. But we are only praying that both sides don't stretch it in a way that can eat us into another payment of back pay.
Good. Brother Kofi Asamoah, please hold on for a moment as we get to Mr. Adepoku. So, in this case, you have indicated that you've written to your members across the regions. How are you going to ensure that they start working immediately?
So that is not a problem at all. I'm confident that when the information gets to them, they will all start working.
Yeah. Don't you have any other concerns that at a point in time will also start raising issues again?
Oh, as for concerns, they continue to come. And as they come, we first judge. If we are able to find solutions to them, we end it. But it is when people do not seem to attach the needed urgency to it, or people trying to be a little bit intransigent, that is when issues can escalate. As I speak right now, we have allowances that we are supposed to negotiate. We have not tackled it at all as of now. And that is another difficult area that we will have to look at even before we think about this day negotiation and that thing. For us as teachers, it's a priority to us even more than the this day negotiation. So I think we still have a lot of things to do in the days to come.
Have you activated that process of discussing allowances already?
Oh, the process started, but at a point in time, it has stopped because there were other things that were supposed to be done, which we have not done yet. The ground rules that are supposed to set, the initial draft that was submitted, organized labor raised concerns about them, and therefore a technical committee was set up to look at it. And because of the workload, we are all looking at allowing arrears to be paid, base pay negotiation and those things. it really bogged down a lot of things. And so now that we have cleared this hurdle, I think while we'll be looking at minimum wage and base pay negotiation, we also not forget to be looking at the Category 2 and 3 allowances negotiation.
Good. Even as we speak about it, the other concern coming on my desk is that we keep talking about the salaries, but productivity is seldom mentioned. How are you going to push that one too?
Well, my brother at the other end will always say, I always quote him, that when we talk about productivity, we are talking about a chicken and egg thing. Because does it mean productivity must be improved first before salary is improved upon, or you motivate the person so that will help him to increase productivity? I strongly believe that for us as teachers, we are professionals. And we do our work as professionals. But when people are not doing their job as expected, then there is a need for supervision. So while we do our work as professionals, and even though we don't need supervision to be able to perform well, when people are not doing their best, I think the employer will also have to tighten the skills a little to make sure that there's proper supervision to ensure higher productivity.
So for you, you will call on the supervising authority to also do their work?
Yes. Well, I call on my constituency to make sure that as professionals, we do our best to increase productivity.
Okay. So Christian,
the employer to also make sure that he's touching the screws a little.
Thank you very much, Mr. Christian Adepoku, for joining us on the show tonight. But coming back to you, Brother Kofi Asamoah, there's been some turbulence on the labor front in the second part of this year. What is your main concern about it as a labor union?
No,
as a trade union.
As a collective,
yes.
We have our responsible roles. We have roles to play, like the labor law rightly detects. Our rights also goes with responsibilities. Indeed, when all partners are working well and everybody puts his hand to the wheel, then we can be seen we can be able to maximize productivity. I agree that the labor scene has not been, has been quite turbulent over the period. When it happens, we needed to keep on dialoguing. I think the important thing is to dialogue and ensure that both parties live up to responsibilities.
But as we talk about it, some also ask, after embarking on strike, being away, and if it's 10 continuous days, normally we know what it means, that you vacated post. Can you take your salary within that period then?
Oh, I think that's an issue that when you want to comment on it, you have to be careful. It will have to be established whether whoever went on strike, it was the cost of the person who went on strike. And as I said, it's a collective effort. So sometimes when the other party is not doing well, it can lead to these situations. Perhaps we should all state clearly that we would ensure that we do what is expected of us as a collective. And then in that sense, we'll be able to avoid this industrial unrest.
So what do you say about the hint that government is trying to begin a discussions on a new policy that will mandate workers who go on strike lose their salaries for the period of the industrial action?
I cannot speculate, but then whatever they have in mind, if they bring to the table, whatever reaction we have. Because the issue of ensuring that we deal with minimizing labor unrest might not only be a matter for policy. Policy may try to interpret a particular legal framework or the way we work. But I think the important is building mutual trust and respect. If there is mutual trust and respect between partners, and then we attend to issues in time, we'll be able to avoid it. Policy alone may not be able to resolve it. We need a collective effort.
I want to thank you very much, Brother Kofi Asamoah, Secretary General of the Ghana Trades Union Congress, for joining us tonight. Well, a lot of the shadows have fallen on the shoulders of Mr. Smith Graham of the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. We are glad he's also joined us on the line. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Are you heaving a sigh of relief tonight? At least, partially.
It's one of the reliefs, so I thank God for it.
Yes. The accusation is that you could have acted long before now, because the teachers were saying that, assuming they've not threatened, perhaps this issue might have lingered. Is that a situation?
Well, that is not a situation, and sometimes once we are all in the business together, I think people will need to understand the work that we are doing. We have been given very huge responsibilities, which are several components. And therefore, as we do all these things together, we have all these discussions going on. And so it doesn't take strike. Immediately we finish. You know, at the end of the negotiation, the agreement was that we were supposed to wait until we migrate every institution onto the single span before we even talk about the arrears. But somewhere along the line, around June, July, thereabout, we as a commission realized that, I mean, it may not be possible to complete migrating everybody by September. And so we immediately activated the process. And it's a process that you need to sit down. It requires data. You know the difficulty with data in this country. Even as we concluded negotiation, I mean, getting an accurate data to pay is also another Herculean tax. So all these processes were going on, the calculations and the permutations and all that were going on before we heard of the strikes. So for us, we're doing our normal work. It's just that there are so many other things that we are doing at the same time. It doesn't mean that we waited until there was strike before. Sometimes all these things just coincide, and there's nothing I can say.
Yeah. So where do we go from here? We know there is one still hanging.
Well, you know, as I heard the president of NAGA saying, there are other issues that we've not even tackled as part of this policy. This is a very big policy. We have the allowances to tackle as a policy. We even have inducements to tackle as a policy, making sure that we pay certain inducements to people who work in certain parts of it. These are all parts of the policy. We have the public sector-wide performance management that will ensure that we at least try to link the payments that we are doing and all that to some form of productivity and efficiency. These are all parts of the policy that we are supposed to implement within the five-year period. So it's a Herculean task that we have. But gradually, I think we are getting there. And I believe that once we complete the migration of all institutions onto the single spine, we'll be able to take on the other major issues and work on them.
Yeah. Mr. Smith Graham, the concern that just came, the health sector workers are also asking that when are they going on? Should they wait for the doctors before?
As a matter of fact, that will not be the case. I don't think that we are putting all the health sector together. No. Once we conclude our arrangement with any other group, we'll migrate. Our determination is that we want to migrate the health sector by the end of October. But we realize that pushing them beyond October has its own implications to us as well as the commission and the work that we are doing. So we are very determined to make sure that we do the migration of the health sector in October. And that is what we are working very hard. We are hoping that there may be a delayed migration. Unless, of course, something serious happens, that will not be able to do that, but we are aiming towards that, and that's what we are working very hard to ensure that we do.
And what can be this something serious that can perhaps work against your plans?
Well, we are still talking with all the groups here and there. There are still some pockets of disagreement here and there. The only difference is that some have decided to engage, some have decided that even the grievances that they have, that it doesn't matter how grievous or how big the grievance is, some have decided to go through the grievance review committee of the Fair Wage and Sales Commission, which also gives us some breather. So we are still talking, and I'm sure that hopefully by Monday thereabout, we would have completed all the other small pockets of issues that are hanging around, and we'll be able to go ahead and complete the migration.
Thank you very much, Mr. Smith Graham.
Thank you.
That's the Chief Executive Officer of the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission on the line. Mohammed Nani is saying in this test, who organized these extra classes for these students? The striking teachers, God save Ghana. Mohammed, well, the teachers are back. That is the information you just heard. And logic from Jamasi, it would be logical for all SHS heads to drastically reduce the school fees since they will attend school for less than 2 months. Andrew Manga is saying, what are the approved admission fees for 2011-2012 academic year? Baba Musa UDS, even though the computerized selection and placement of SHS may be good, it appears to be creating unnecessary delays and discomfort to SHS 1 students and parents. And Zadok Awa from Navrongo, NADRAT leadership is good. NAT leadership should be dissolved. I don't think NAT leadership will agree with you. And an FEE, Manso Adubia Ashanti region, kudos to you, Professor Mills, for listening to my colleague teachers. 2012 is for you. Behind the news on Radio Ghana, and we are also live on Twin City Radio and Radio Central, Cape Coast. We'll be back. And we move on to Agric. The effort to encourage young people in the area of agriculture continues to receive a boost with the ongoing agricultural fair. Among the issues identified as worrying the industry's packaging and post-harvest losses. Statistics available show that between 40 to 50% of the harvest is lost, especially in connection with fresh fruits and vegetables. Can something be done about this challenge? Joining us to explore the issue is Prince Ejinim Boatin, a member of the Institute of Packaging. Fairs helping to enhance the image of the sector.
The nation at large, because at the fairgrounds, you see a lot of effort being made by the farmers to improve on their yields. But beyond that, there is a need to be able to control post-harvest losses. And then that is seen from some of the packages that they have handled so far, which needs a lot to be done to bring it up to a good standard to enhance productivity, food security, and food safety.
You've mentioned the post-harvest losses, and the statistics indicate 40 to 50%. Why do we have such a high number?
That is because most of our farmers are subsistence farmers. They are not that large commercial level. And because of that, I think many went in without actually knowing the kind of produce that they were dealing with. Because talking about fresh fruits and vegetables, it is said that the fresh fruits and vegetables contain between 65 and 95% of water. And after harvesting, the life of the plant lives on in the produce. And because of that, there is transpiration and respiration. It breathes like normal human beings. And because of that, rotting and decay and the deterioration of the produce happens very fast. And as such, farmers should have been able to plan at the time they were planning their farms and those things to incorporate packaging as part of the activities, as a factor of production, so that they'll be able to control post-harvest losses.
But how can they do it effectively? Do you think then they will have to be taken through some lessons on how to do it?
Exactly so. And that is why I did say that the ongoing fair has been very useful and very helpful in the sense that the seminars or the platform that has been created by the organizers is giving the farmers a better insight into many of the things that they have been handling. And then also the challenges that they have been confronted with on the field. Now they have a better meaning and understanding of such challenges. And I believe that after this fair, there will be the need for the farmers or the leadership of the farmers to sit down with some of the people of the leadership of the Packaging Institute to look critically at problems and challenges on the ground facing the farmers so that practically we'll be able to solve them and give them the necessary solutions to safeguard the losses that they normally incur.
Yeah. Mr. Ejinim Boatin, you are talking about farmers, and we certainly know that with so many of them, not many can make it to the trade fair site. So how do you ensure that even at the most basic level, people have the information required to be able to reduce these losses we are talking about?
Yes, for some time now, the Ghana Institute of Packaging, in collaboration with Ministry of Trade and Industry, and that of Ministry of Agriculture, Food and Agriculture, have come together to set up training programs in the region to support the activities of such farmers. Because until we knock at their doors and let them know the actual practices and a means of ensuring and securing their produce, it always goes against the country. And as such, we are putting in some programs which is starting November, this November, that's next month. We are starting from Kumasi, and I'll be going to all the other regions And we are also using this, your channel, to make it known to our Ghanaian farmers that whoever has a need can call on the Institute of Packaging Ghana, and they are located within the perimeters of the transfer site Accra at the AGI building, Association of Ghana Industries building, room number 4. Any information that they need that will really enhance their output and their work. We are there, we are non-governmental organization and non-profit making. There is so much we can offer them, especially a few weeks ago, our International Trade Center trained more hands, experts for Ghana, Uganda and Kenya. And then they are ready to avail their expertise to those who are ready for it. Anytime they call there, there's somebody there to answer to their call.
Yes, but generally speaking still, talking about packaging, what have you identified with this country that should be resolved, apart from even talking about just post-harvest losses?
Basically, I see that many of the produce or the production that is carried out in Ghana, because of poor packaging, even our citizenry are not ready to really, you know, use their own produce or products. They prefer the foreign or the imported products to that of what is produced in Ghana. But for the growth of this our country, it would be better if we could grow what we eat and eat what we grow. That has already been said. And then for that, it will make it more sustainable for the farmers, because if they are able to sustain their businesses by being able to sell whatever they produce and get money, then to be more attractive to our people, and then everybody will be interested in going into such production. But because of poor packaging, we ourselves are not interested in what we produce, and for that reason, it makes it more difficult and more challenging for people living to go in.
Some have stated that sometimes we talk about packaging, and yet the product itself may not be that good. Should we start looking at other issues and pushing them apart from just the packaging, even though you are saying it's important?
Packaging, basically, let me give you at least an overview of what packaging means to me as an expert in the area. It is a means of ensuring the safe delivery of products to the ultimate consumer in a sound condition at the minimum overall cost. By this, we are talking about food safety, food security, food safety, and for that reason, it is important for the farmer to start packaging on the farm, that is handling. Even the process or the method of harvesting is part of the packaging process, in the sense that we normally package things of value. So if care is not taken of what one is bringing out onto the market, and then there is a problem with it, or there are defects or bruises or damage to it, and you package it, at the end of the day, when it gets to the final consumer, it will be rejected, and that will affect your sales. And because of that, handling of the product, even transportation, which is also another key thing. Just imagine Ghana, in most parts of the country where farming activities are carried out, most of our roads are not good. And even imagine when carting yam or some of these produce from the hinterland to our, you know, marketing centers, where it would, you know, be made accessible to consumers. The bumps on our roads will cause a lot of friction and abrasion. For that reason, a lot of these things will get salt on the way before they get here, especially fresh fruits and vegetables. Because I've already mentioned that it is a living tissue, and any pressure that is exerted on it unduly damages the tissue and affects it and it decays. Heat and a lot of things. So I'm even asking that all farmers should have pack houses in their farms, especially they can raise even sheds to create a temporary shed for things that they harvest. Because after harvesting, they leave many of these produce in the sun. And when, you know, the sun heats the produce, take something like potatoes or even cassava. It is said that when it's heated between, it's left in the scorching sun between 2 and 4 hours, the temperature of it can raise up to about 50 degrees Celsius, which damages the tissues and causes damage to the produce. Mm-hmm. And so packaging starts right from the farm gate, mm-hmm, through transportation before it gets into the final consumer.
So it means you are just looking at everything in connection with agriculture and not just a matter of having finished planting a seed.
No, sir. Not really.
Yes.
So much weight than just this. So I think that at the forum, I did tell the participant that this is just to create awareness that there is a place or there's an entity that is ready to help them to look critically at their difficulties and challenges. Because at such a forum, there's a little that we can discuss. But practically, for us to be able to develop solutions to solve such problems, we need to take every produce by itself, because there are differences from one produce to the other. And the packaging depends on the characteristics of the produce or the produce profile. That will tell the kind of package to be able to control it.
Yeah.
Because if you take pineapple, for instance, or let's say lettuce, it's a leafy something. You need a barrier that can control evaporation and other things. And so it depends on the product profile before you know what kind of packaging material to use. And let me quickly run through this. When it comes to packaging, the materials that are used are normally, we have paper and paper balls, we have plastic, we have glass, we have wood, we have textiles, we have metal and many more. So it depends on the kind of produce that you are packaging. If it's a fresh fruit or vegetable or something, it has a way to go. And specifically, if it's also a processed one, that also has a way to go.
Okay.
And by packaging to more or less, it's value addition, which increases the price and the lifespan of the produce.
Okay. Mr. Prince Ajani Mbwatin, certainly we'll have to talk much more about this one to enhance the agricultural sector. But for now, because of time, we want to thank you so much.
Thank you very much, sir, for having me on this.
Professor Janine Watson is an International Trade Center certified expert in packaging and also a member of the Institute of Packaging. Some of your tests before we go. Jeremiah from Jerapa is saying the poor performance of the BCE candidates alone should give government a clue to attend to teachers to avoid future occurrences. And Fuseni Jolu, the educational system in Ghana is becoming more complicated. WASI grading system is very ambiguous. And all nurses must be migrated into the SSS by the end of October before any everlasting strike under from KHC is sending in that one. Perhaps the assurance given is very important for us here. This is where we wrap it all up on Behind the News for this week. On behalf of our technical team of Isaac Yawedu and Owula Kweji and Barbara Yakubu, who did the summaries, together with the production team, Christopher Sidu, Bryce Agama, Abraham Asari, Edmond Tete, and John Pudi, my name is Kinsley Odinchere.